Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into your word, we pray we would see new things and apply them to our lives and to our prayer today for your glory's sake. Amen. It's the upper room. For Jesus, it's the night of betrayal, desertion by friends, and arrest. And Jesus has a message of warning for the disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. The Lord Jesus was the ultimate challenge to the world and its ways. Nobody was more different, more distinctive, or more holy. So the world decided he had to go. Out of compassion, Jesus warns those who would bravely endeavor to walk in his footsteps. He told them, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." In Colombia, South America, since 1995, over 100 pastors have been killed and over 400 churches forced to close. In following the Lord Jesus Christ, believers who face persecution, like those in Colombia and many other parts of the world, must take comfort in the fact that the possibility of persecution was never tucked away in the small print, but it was writ large by the persecuted Savior himself. It's right here in John chapter 15. They will know they were never tricked. They knew the dangers, and that makes their faith and their courage all the more remarkable. That is why we must stand with them and pray for them on this Solidarity Sunday, which is especially designated in the church's calendar worldwide as a Sunday when Christians all over the world pray for the suffering church. Because as Brother Andrew says, the founder of Open Doors, prayer takes us into countries Christian people can't go. We can touch lives and hearts by our prayers. And people are suffering out there, as we know. Take Fidencio Hernandez and his wife Petrona and their four young sons. Fidencio was a teacher in the troubled Chiapas region of Mexico. He came to Christ just 2 years ago, and his family followed him in Christian commitment. Since then, since 2012, the family have endured unexpected and relentless persecution in the form of a series of robberies, their lives being seriously threatened, and eventually being forced to leave their home and relocate to a city far away, just because that family chose to follow Jesus. In their young faith, just 2 years old, has this family given up on Jesus? No. Fidencio and Petrona are already leading a Bible study for friends in their new home. Or take Pastor Farshid Fathi Malayeri in Iran, arrested in December 2010 for his Christian faith and Christian leadership, and sentenced to 6 years at the notorious Evin prison. Pastor Farshid's witness has not gone unnoticed. I quote from a recent report of him. It says, "Even the son of an Ayatollah who was imprisoned with him publicly praises Pastor Farshid for his kind and selfless help to other prisoners." At present, we know of 60 Iranian believers who are currently imprisoned for their faith. Many of them are pastors who are accused of threatening national security. Yes, the words of Jesus in John 15:20 are undoubtedly true. True for Christian disciples today, just as they would be true for those first disciples to whom the words were spoken. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He then goes on to say in verse 20, if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Yes, the bad news is you will be persecuted for belonging to me, says Jesus. But the good news is that the gospel will bear fruit in spite of persecution. They will obey your teaching. We only have to read the book of Acts to see how true Jesus' words were. In Acts 8, the Christians flee Jerusalem because of persecution and the martyrdom of Stephen. They scatter all over the place. And as they go, they take the gospel with them. The Romans and the Jewish authorities had thought, we'll scupper this Christianity, kill it in its infancy. But by driving out the Christians, they evangelize the world. Nothing can stop God. Pastor Samuel Lamb knows that. In his more than 80 years, he spent 20 of them in prison for his faith in China. He and his underground church were severely persecuted, but God blessed their gospel work. In 1985, the church numbered 400 believers. But then the church property was confiscated by the authorities and closed. No place to meet, no place to worship. But 5 years later, in 1990, the membership was over 2,000. No building didn't mean no growth. Pastor Lamb says, remember the lesson of the Chinese church. More persecution, more growth. I wonder how many of the new membership of Pastor Lamb's church had at one time been skeptical, even hostile to the Christian faith. But they saw his and others' brave witness and undimmed faith, and like Saul of Tarsus centuries earlier, recognized the truth about Jesus. And it's that recognition we've got to pray for today. Jesus was the victim of persecution by religious leaders who believed they were doing God's will. There was no recognition of Jesus' true identity as the Son of God. Verse 24 of John 15, they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. In light of the appalling atrocities meted out upon Christian communities in Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Nigeria, North Korea, and so many more, we are witnessing, aren't we, the actions of those who hate the Lord Jesus without reason, just as Saul of Tarsus once did, holding the cloak of those who stoned Stephen to death. Their depravity in some instances is beyond words. And not just towards Christians either. The Yazidi community in Iraq has suffered terribly, and others as well. But what for Christians should be the response? Well, do you remember Jesus' startling words in the Sermon on the Mount? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I think one of the books that made the biggest impact on my life as a young Christian was Bishop Fester Kivenja's small volume, Why I Love Idi Amin. President Amin of Uganda in the 1970s ordered the murder of Archbishop Luwum, the Anglican Archbishop of Uganda, and a close friend of Bishop Fester. He also ordered the arrest and death of Bishop Festo, who escaped over the mountains with his family. President Amin brought heartache and brutality upon the whole Christian community of Uganda and indeed upon the whole nation. And yet, Bishop Festo knew his Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, which is why he wrote, why I love Idi Amin. Could you or I write that book when our best friend has been murdered on the orders of this man? Violent leaders today who tread the same path as Idi Amin and those who do their bidding, whether for Islamic State, Boko Haram, or the North Korean secret police, all these hate without reason. May God empower the persecuted Christians of the world to love, to pray, and to forgive. It's a huge thing to ask, to pray for, but it's the response that God seeks from all of us. And of course, Jesus led by example, saying from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The love in the heart of our Lord Jesus and his pastoral care as the good shepherd of his people is so clearly borne out here in the upper room and then, of course, later and supremely at the cross. Chapter 16 and verse 1, all this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. There are some killing Christians today who think they are serving their God and doing a good thing, inverted commas. Mindless, senseless killing. Jesus goes on, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. The Lord Jesus knows he faces imminent arrest and certain death. And yet, where are his thoughts? His thoughts are with his friends, with his disciples, those who will testify for him one day. And some of them lose their lives for him. May our brothers and sisters suffering for their faith in Jesus in 2014 know that his thoughts are still with his people. He will never leave them nor forsake them. And I close with those words from Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.